Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. I tell you what, I am, I get up here on Sunday mornings, it gives me an opportunity to punch the devil in the nose. He seems to not bother me during the week. And then come Sunday morning, it's like he makes an all-out attack on my voice. But I'll tell you what, he's a liar and he's lost. Amen. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. I'm going to do the third sermon on seed time and harvest. And this may be a little bit different than what you might expect. Usually when you're talking about seed time and harvest, you're talking about what you plant when they take up the offering. That's what most people think about seed time and harvest. But what I said in the previous messages is that everything revolving around life involves seed time and harvest. Now, how many of you know you don't plant your seed one day and harvest everything the next? I don't know of anything that they've genetically engineered or that they found that can grow that quick except dandelions. You cut off a dandelion today, and I can promise you if you cut him off early this morning, he'll be back by tomorrow night. But things that are good for us, the fruits of our labors and all like that, you don't get them overnight. It takes a while. There is seed time and there is harvest. There's no purpose in sowing the seed if you're not expecting a harvest. Well, we're going out and sow some seed in the garden, but I doubt that we'll get anything this year, you know. We're not looking for much. And then you got somebody, they're going out and they sow the seed in the garden, and they said, man, we're going to... And in their mind, they have the vision of that harvest. They have the vision of those big red tomatoes. They have the vision of the corn on the cob that they're going to be eating that came off of that corn in that garden. The green beans, the squash, cucumbers, whatever it is you turns you on, flips your boat. Growing in that garden, when you sow those seed, that's what you have in your mind. You have a picture of the harvest. Now there's so many times that when we do things for God and when we respond to the Word of God, we do what we're doing, we do it because we're thinking about what it is. But you know, in truth and reality, there's no picture of the harvest. Because we're sowing thinking, I hope this works. I hope I get something out of this. Well, first of all, that's the wrong way to be thinking. You don't think about what you're going to get out of what you give God. You think about what God's going to do with what you give Him to increase His kingdom, that the blessings will come back upon you and those around you. But you don't just give saying, okay, God, if it wasn't for what I need, I wouldn't give it. You don't give your time at church just because of what you need, just because of what you can get out of it. You give it because you know that you're putting forth an effort to keep something going that's touching people that are receiving something from it that they need. And all of that is involved in seed time and harvest. Even with the reproduction of the planet, even with the offspring, there's a seed sowed, and generally speaking, you don't have a harvest for 9 months. And so, what we're looking at is a time of sowing and a time of reaping. A seed time and a harvest. And all that's involved with it. Without a seed time, there is no harvest. I've never yet, as much as I've trusted God, believed God, I have never yet had a voluntary garden pop up on my place out there and me get to harvest it without, first of all, somebody sowing the seed. And you know, in all of our lives, God's purpose for us is found in what He wants to sow into us. You know, God's sowing into you. He's giving you things that you can use down the road. But first of all, you got to realize what He's doing, and you got to cooperate. Now, I'm going to share from Mark chapter 4, we're going to look at Jesus' teaching on the parable of the sower. You could call it the parable of the soil. But there is a principle in here that you need to understand that will make a dramatic change in what you reap in due season. You know, that's what the Scripture says. And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. One translation says, if we do not faint. You could also say, or in due season you will reap if you don't quit. If you don't give up. Now let's see what He has to say. Mark chapter 4, and this parable is found in all three of the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in a little different form. But I'm going to read the one from Mark, and then a couple of things said in one of the others that I'm going to refer to. You won't see it in the Word here in Mark, but it's in Luke. And again, He began to teach by the sea. And a great multitude was gathered to Him, so that He got into a boat and set it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then He taught them many things by parables and said to them in His teaching. And here we go. Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside. And the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And He said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. I said this before, I think in one of the Sunday morning handouts the last 2 or 3 weeks, that one thing that we do about the Word of God is we get so familiar with it, and we've heard it so many times, then we don't bother to keep ourselves refreshed on certain portions of it and what certain portions of it tell us. Now, everybody that's been in church for any extended amount of time have had the principle taught to them. They've had the story taught to them. They've heard the teaching of Jesus. It comes in little children's preschool books. It comes in youth book. Everybody talks about it at some time or other. The story of the parable of the sower. What I just read to you this morning. And what happens is that we go through our Bible, we're reading, and maybe we're looking for something, and we open up parable of the sower. Well, I know all about that sower, so we look for something else. And you know, the Word of God, the Bible says, is alive and active. and it's capable of stirring your thoughts. I don't care how many times you've read a certain verse. Something can trigger thoughts. Well, I knew that this was a good example of seed time and harvest, and the things that happen between seed time and harvest. But you go back and you look through it, and one of the things that you see is this. First of all, we have always looked at this from a perspective of being everybody. We talk about which group was the lost and which ones were the saved and which ones made it. And I was thinking about all of that, you know, because you got the ones where the seed fell by the wayside, and then you got the seed that fell in the rocks, and you got the seed that fell in the thorns, and you got the seed that fell on good ground. And I'm thinking about this, meditating on it. Matter of fact, I'd already gone to bed, and I was just laying there here one night, a few nights ago, just pondering, thinking, reflecting in my mind, bringing the concepts that I was thinking about over and over. And it was just like all of a sudden God said, let me tell you something. Basically, you know, and how many of you know that God can speak to you and about the click of your finger more than you can tell somebody about in 10 minutes? But anyway, there it was, just thought. He said, look at it this way. He said, what if all, you know, A-L-L, what if all of the soil represents believers? Represents the saved. Because he said, you know, it can represent the world. And I was reading somewhere about, I think it was in my Bible that I have here, where it says when you go to talk about parables, stick with the main principle. Because any parable runs into shallow water if you try to break it down and in all of its parts. And then he went on to say, unless the Spirit of God is in there to reveal to you something else that you need to see. And I thought, well, that's exactly what happened to me the other night. So what I want to do is I want us to look at it like that. Verse 14 in the explanation of it. First thing off the bat, the sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. Now, what he's talking about here is the seed is the Word of God. There are a lot of Christians that have a very shallow crop because they have very little of the Word of God in them. The sower sows the Word. The seed is the Word of God. Every believer, every Christian has the seed sowed into them. Now, the difference is what kind of soil is the seed going to hit. Now, in the Amplified Bible, when it talks about this parable, one of the things that it says, and every time where it says, and the seed that fell here, the seed that fell there, the seed that fell over here, it never faults the seed. As a matter of fact, in parentheses, I think it is, in the Amplified, it said, and some seed, and in that parenthesis, of the same kind, fell in the on the wayside. Some seed of the same kind fell in the rocky place. Seed of the same kind fell in the thorns. Seed of the same kind fell in the good ground. So you cannot blame the seed for what happens down the road. Now, everybody that receives the seed of the Word of God gets the truth. And the truth will make you free. Isn't any quality different about the Word of God? Where the problem comes is men, women, teachers, theologians, farmers that think a lot, they come up with opinions. Some of the opinions look just like the right seed. And they're sowing these seed in the soil. Now suppose, and we say this is here this morning, but I mean we've seen a lot of people healed. And we do not fall short in sowing into you the seed from God's Word, like He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Any among them sick, you know, call the elders of the church and pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith save the sick, and the Lord raise him up. All of those things that we're sowing. Now, somewhere down the road, they'll produce a crop. But what if people are the soil? What if the soil is sitting in a congregation and the preacher's always up there saying, these things have passed away. God doesn't heal people anymore. People don't speak in tongues anymore. Blah, 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 blah. He's not sowing the seed of the Word of God. He's sowing tares. But people don't know the difference. One of the reasons why it's so easy for people to be deceived by religious information rather than biblical information is because all of us have a desire. There's a desire in somebody that's going to follow God. There's a desire in them to be right. And if all they've heard all their life is one thing, and they think that one thing is the truth, and it may not be, but they don't know it. But they've been taught that you got to believe this in order to please God. You don't have an easy job changing people's minds. You got a much easier job convincing somebody that never ever heard anything before. That's why you see such tremendous things happen in third world countries and over. Because a lot of these people, they haven't been taught. They haven't gone to seminary. They don't have a pastor that's got a doctor's and philosophy degree. They don't have anything except the Bible, maybe, and they read the Word of God, and they see what it says in the Word of God, and they just say, wow, and they believe it, and it happens. You don't have to go over there and preach for a week on why God still heals, because they don't know that He ever stopped. So, anyway, sower went out to sow. It specifically says the sower, in one case, is the Son of Man. So, whatever Jesus sows, Jesus went out to sow. And it happened, as he sowed, that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. In Luke's gospel, it said, now the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. It's in Luke chapter 8. You want to turn there? Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. They hear. They hear the word. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Now, don't narrow the meaning of that word "be saved." Because that same word is used to translate all of the blessings of God, almost, nearly. Healing, deliverance, salvation, prosperity, provision, protection. It's a powerful word. What it was like, they take away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be healed. Lest they should believe and be delivered, lest they should believe and prosper. Now, how many people in the church are like the soil by the wayside? You know what the wayside is? It's the travel paths of society. You got to stay in the flow of the world. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if you're determined to stay in the flow of the world, you are going to have a hard time with the devil. Because everything that God tries to do for you, he's going to be right there. The world has trampled on you so much that it's made you hard. You know, a lot of people out in the world, they survive in the world because they've been made so hard-hearted. Nothing bothers them anymore. They don't care anymore. Their conscience is seared, the scripture says. But there's people in the church like that. They're the ones that want to stay in the flow of the world. They go to a certain church because that's where the end people go. You want to get your, see, you're new in the community, you want to make yourself known, well, go to this church, that church, wherever it is. But it said, that's good seed. Nothing wrong with seed. But it's gone. Stolen out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. That's the first kind of soil. Now I'll tell you what, no farmer in his right mind is going to try to grow a crop in the middle of the highway. No farmer is going to try to grow a crop in the ditch alongside the highway. He's going to remove himself from the highway and find a good ground. But if you're going down the edge of it and you got a really big, powerful sower, you'll sow it in the side, you'll throw some in the ditch, you'll throw it over next to the road, or you're going to get the crop in the field that's ready. Now, like I said when I started, you've got to remember to do your part. So hang on to that. Now, we're not doing our part in order to get God to love us. We're not doing our part in order to work ourselves into the kingdom. We are doing our part because it's our part. It's something we can do. See, you can't forgive your sins. You, in your human nature, can't even overcome sin. You can't turn a new leaf. And God look at you now, oh, they're wonderful. Now they turned a new leaf. No, what you did is turn a new leaf, and you and the devil will eventually have that leaf full too. But it comes down to us doing our part. And we'll find out towards the end what our part is. Now, so we've got the stuff on the hard ground. Hard because it's been trampled by the world. All of the birds. You know what the birds have found out? That's the easiest place to get what we need. That's the easiest place to get what we want. We can go over here by the side of the road. That seed's going to land right there. It's going to be laying right on top. It's not going to be hard to see. It's not going to be hard to find. We'll just go down there and get us a bunch of it. That's the way it is with some people. They put themselves in a spot in the world where they are very vulnerable and all the birds have a shot at them. And I'm talking about people in the church. Now, then he goes on to say, but the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now, in his presentation here in Luke, back a little bit earlier in the chapter, he says of it this way. Some fall on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. It lacked moisture. Paul made a statement one time in the scripture. He says, some plant, and some water. But God gives the increase. The first time you hear something, the first time all of a sudden you are exposed to some truth in Christianity that you didn't know, something that you know, wow, this can make a big difference in my life. And you say, whoa, maybe you went to a special meeting. Somewhere. Maybe you came to New Life Camp meeting. And you heard a word. You got a revelation. Wow, this is awesome. Or somewhere else or somewhere. You got a seed sowed. It fell in you. And when it fell in you, you read it. Wow, that's great. I never heard anything like that before. And all of a sudden, that little seed, wow, you know, Jesus died for our healing. And you got that seed. And you're excited about it. And there are people in the body of Christ that are that way. And I'm just being realistic. I'm not being critical of anything. I'm just telling you this is the way it works. And so they get a seed, and all of a sudden, wow, God wants me to prosper. Woo, God wants me healed. That little thing just jumps up there, just... And then things get hot. And for lack of moisture. You get the seed sowed. And it comes up like seed do. But then there is no moisture. Your seed never gets watered. Somebody goes to a place where they're spirit-filled. They hear about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It starts to excite them. They understand what they're saying. They come forward and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Somebody prays over them. They have an experience. They speak in tongues, all of that. Boy, I mean that what they heard just, boom, just came up. And then they go back to a church somewhere. And the first thing they hear on Sunday morning when they get back is somebody stand up in the pulpit and say, well, I just want to tell you this morning that you do know the tongues are of the devil. That's worse than not getting it watered. That's as bad as just having somebody come out and step on it and grind it out. But when you hear that, that's not watering. It's not watering. I'll tell you what, when you realize that God saved you by His grace and not by your works, and you start to live like that and it becomes an example to you, but you go into a place where they're always telling you, if you want to please God, you got to do this and this and this. If you don't do this, you're going to be lost. You can say you're saved if you want to, but if you don't tithe, you're going to hell. See, that's not biblical. It's not biblical. Should we tithe? Yes. You're going to hell if you don't? No. You're just going to live like you're in hell here. Mm-hmm. But no water. So therefore, it doesn't last. Now, the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. I really believe, this is just an opinion, I really believe that there are a lot of Christians that if you could describe the way they feel like a plant that's got a fruit coming, and it's right there. And here it is, and a little green tomato. And they say, whew, finally. But the problem can be that you go back in 3, 4, 5 months, a year, they're still there. They're still going through the motions. They're still doing what they always did. But there's that little green tomato. It's still a little green tomato, just like it was when it first popped out. Now let me ask you this. You got the garden, you got tomatoes, plants in there. You go out and you look and you see the blooms. Oh, wow. Tomatoes are ready for harvest. Not hardly. Oh, yeah, those blooms will fall off, and then all of a sudden, there's them little green fellas. Some of them maybe not much bigger than your thumbnail. There they sit, though, and you look at them, and you're thinking about what they are going to be. You don't think about what they are right now. That's one of the things that gives us a problem in our relationship with other Christians and other people, is that we look at them where they are and we don't see what they can be. We just see what they are. Go to your, well, I went and looked at my garden this morning and there ain't anything in there. There's hundreds of little old green things on the vine and they're not worth nothing. I don't even know why I'm fooling with them. you're fooling with them, because you're smart enough to know that in the case of the tomato, it's going to grow and it's going to get bigger. And one of these days, you're going to take one off of there that's the big one set in the palm of your hand. And while you're knowing that's going to happen, you're taking care of those little green tomatoes. There's a lot of green tomatoes in the body of Christ. And somebody that's smart enough to know that and smart enough to know how to handle them need to get with it, taking care of them till we can get them grown up and get some big red tomatoes. And I'll tell you what, they're not all back in the classes this morning, here or anywhere else. And I'm not saying that, I don't have anybody in mind, but what I'm saying is this is not just a matter of growing children up, that there are a lot of adults that are still the little green tomatoes. And there's nothing wrong with them except they're not coming to maturity. And the reason they're not coming to maturity is because of things like cares and worries and riches. That can be just making ends meet. Doesn't mean that you got a vision that you're going to be a millionaire next month. You got a vision of how you're going to pay the house payment. How you're going to pay your electric bill. And I certainly can't give my tithe when I got these bills coming up, because if I give my tithe, I can't pay my bills. You need some rain on that area, if that's the way you're thinking. And pleasures of life. Pleasures of life. That's people that plan God's activities around everything else that they're doing. And you know, we have fallen victim to that in some respects within the church. You don't have camp meeting during the fair week. No matter if that might be the best week for everybody, if you have camp meeting during the fair week, there'll be a lot of people who won't be able to make camp meeting because they got to go to the fair. Can't schedule revival on this particular weekend because such and such a ball team's at home. They're playing a good school that day, or a good team. And then we wonder why we've strained and strained to get where we are. And we got those little green tomatoes, and we keep looking at them. And we don't see them maturing. We just see them sitting there looking back at us as little green tomatoes. Time we got beyond that. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit. Two more words. Anybody have them? In verse 15 in Luke. You might not have gone there. And keep it and bear fruit with patience. With patience. I've heard different men of God say it's not our lack of faith that keeps the things of God from coming to us. It's our lack of patience. We believe for a while. And then when we don't see it, we wither. Worry has a greater hold on us than the Word of God. Our social situation has a greater hold on us than the Word of God. You know, God's busy all the time sowing. How many of you walk out in society, you walk up to somebody, you start talking, and all of a sudden you feel the seed of God being sown? You're sowing it in them, or they're sowing it in you, or whatever, and then, wow, that happens all the time. Now, here's where our part comes in, and I can tell you this real quickly. The prophet of old said this: break up the fallow ground. Break up the fallow ground. Like I said, by the wayside where the birds come and get it, that soil that wants to stay so close. And see, here's the miracle of God. The miracle of God is that He can change any of it. But in reality, He will not change it against our will. You want to be hard soil? You want to spend time close to the world? You want to have a hard heart? You want to be calloused and indifferent and hang around the world and you know, fool with all that stuff and want to see everybody coming by? And you know, the more the world runs over you, the harder you're going to get. So what do? You separate yourself from the world. Come ye apart and be ye separate. And then, says the Lord, I'll do something for you. So how do we get from being hard soil next to the road to becoming good soil that can produce a fruit? Through a miracle of God, you get away from the road. I don't want to be soil that's in this condition, in this state. Lord, change me. Well, sometimes the first thing that has to happen is you got to move. You got to move some way or other. Maybe it's a movement from one place to another. Maybe it's just a movement from one attitude to another. But you're going to have to decide, I don't want to be like this. I'm going to move. I'm going to take a step closer. I mean, it's as simple as moving from the right side to the left side or vice versa. Or moving from the back side to the front side. Just doing something in your life that shows God, I'm willing to move in order to become better soil. You can't stay in the same spot. Keep getting the word sowed on you and see any kind of results. You've heard the definition of insanity, I'm sure. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and always expecting different results. And then you got the rocky soil. Oh, you got a little dirt, got a little life in you. I remember when my grandpa bought the farm out there where he lived, right down the road from us. And it was, they didn't name that place out there where we live Rocky Hill for nothing. Right, Ricardo? But they had a pasture field, and that's what they've been using it for. People that had before us was always used for. And one of the reasons they used it for that is because when you went to plow it, all you plowed up was rocks. And my grandpa bought that farm, and what's the old saying? About this is where the fellow was when he met the wolf and couldn't find a rock to throw at him. Well, this place out there, I promise you, you could have fallen down on it in that field. You could have fallen down in that field with your eyes closed and found a rock. All you'd had to do was just put your hand out, and they'd done that a couple of times, you'd have a rock. Never saw anything like it. My grandpa and my grandmother, They had a pickup truck. They started a project picking up all of the visible rocks in that field. And you know where the field is. It's the one down there past your dad's barn that goes up the side. They picked up, I don't even remember how many pickup loads of rocks. And I'm talking about little rocks that, you know, bigger than that, maybe some of them up to that big, kind that you'd throw in the creek or throw at something. Picked them up by hand, filled the truck bed up, took them down and dumped them somewhere down in the hole. There's too many of them there too, gullies, but put them down there and go back and get another one. I don't know how many loads. They went on and on until they covered that whole field. And when they got done, it was hard to find a rock. And you know, that didn't make them better people. That didn't get them an award from the county agent. But it did get something, and that was the field that they could do something with besides grow rocks. Why'd they do it? Because they wanted a field that they could do something with besides growing rocks. Why do we do the things that we do? Why do we work in our lives to get the rocks out in order to please God, in order for God to love us more, in order for our salvation to be more secure? No, we get the rocks out in order to have something that we can put in there or a situation where we can sow into it and get something besides rocks and dead plants. So, you know, maybe we just need to look into our life through the Spirit of God and say, okay, God, show me some rocks that are causing me these problems and I'll get rid of them. You know, it can be a rock of unforgiveness, a rock of offense, rock of worry, fear, come in all sizes, forms, and names. But if there are enough of them there, we can start energetic about the things of God. And when we don't get any moisture, they die. And then the thorns and the thistles. If you got thorns and thistles in your crop field, what do you do with them? Do you just throw the seed in there and hope that the seed will outgrow the thistles and thorns? Do you go down there and curse them? And what I'm talking about is not necessarily cursing them like Jesus did the fig tree. Old Kentucky language is you just cuss them. Or do we allow the master of the vineyard to dig those things out of us? It's not easy to have some of the stuff dug out of us that's keeping us from maturing in the things of God. But it's possible. And what I'm saying is this. All of us here this morning, all of us that are listening to this on the internet, all of us are receiving the seed. And it's landing on us. And what are we when it lands on us? With the help of the devil, do we just brush it off like by the wayside? Do we get excited about it but never water it, never do anything to protect it, just saying, oh, one day, and then one day it's dead? Or do we allow the thorns and the thistles and the things of life to determine the size of our crop and whether or not it gets to maturity? Or do we say, with the power and the grace of God, this thorn's coming out of here. This thistle is leaving. This is not going to destroy my harvest. And we become good ground. And we get it sowed into us. And you know, Jesus never criticized the ground that produced 30-fold. He didn't say, well, you 30-fold producers, why aren't you producing 100-fold like these people over here? Or 60. Oh, you're the ones that are in good shape. You're the normal 60. 30s, you're the less productive. I mean, you're the low rung. And these 100-fold over here, they're the high ones. That's human thinking. What he's saying is, this soil over here produced 30-fold, did the best it could. 60-fold, did the best it could. 100-fold, did the best it could. There wouldn't be too many preachers around if all the preachers that aren't big-time TV evangelists quit. Now, would there? Well, you know, from a human way of thinking, I look at those, they're sure producing a whole bigger fold than I am. They've got a crop way yonder bigger than my crop. But what am I responsible for? My crop. That's what you're responsible for. Yourself. And to be what you can be in the kingdom of God. Because you got 20 acres of soybeans out here. Them 20 acres of soybeans don't get into an argument about which acre had the most. They just produce the best they can. They produce. They start out and they go till they can't do any more. And then they harvest it. But they don't argue one another. They don't compare themselves. We're involved in seed time and harvest. There have been times when I have reaped the harvest of another man's seed and another man's watering. There have been times when I have sowed the seed and later on hear about the harvest. There's been times when I have watered and then later on heard about the harvest. And then there are those times when you get to see the seed planted, the soil watered, and the harvest. But it all works out because it's all God's. It's His harvest, not ours. You know, you sow seed in somebody and then you hear they got saved, just like this over here. Who sowed the seed? Who watered it? And you know, we come in like we feel like we've been slighted because we watered, we sowed. Somebody else was able to be there at the moment when they decided to accept the Lord. And then it's like, well, look at all that I did for that man. I don't even get credit for it. What are you doing this for? It's for life. It's for people that need God. Not so we can get credit for something. Our reward's in heaven. Jesus said, if you get credit for it now, that's all you got. But let's be the kind of soil that when the seed falls on us, God can look and say, look at that thing grow. Look at it grow. And be aware of all these things that keep us from it. And deal with them. You can't produce the life in yourself. But you can help produce the condition that will cause that life to flourish and mature. Let's stand. You know, I started out by talking about last week. And the people that came and things had changed. And I'm sure that within all of that, just like you can in most other places, there was all kinds of situation. There's some that got that seed sowed and their life is of such a nature that they're so involved in the traffic of the world that it'll get stole from them. And there are others that it'll grow up and look good for a while and then wither away under the heat of temptation and tribulation and persecution. And there are others that would get so carried away with all their everyday things that they had when they came and they had when they left. And they won't forget it. And it'll kind of be there, but it'll never really, really be the mature fruit that it could be. And then there are some that spoke truthfully. This has changed my life. And the evidence of that will show up too. And the fruit will be evident. This is life, folks. The principle of seed time and harvest in every area of our lives. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have made all things possible. Wow, and we can have any kind of crop we want because the seed of your word's unlimited. And we thank you, Lord God, that it'll change our lives, that it'll turn us from a barren piece of land to a bountiful garden, producing fruits of righteousness. And we thank you, Lord God, that you help us, that you dig around us, and you prune us, and you water us, and all of those things happen. But it takes our determination to be what we need to be, to fully see what we can see if we believe. Help us to hold on to that. Prompt us, remind us, guide us in all things. As we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.